Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the first two episodes of a new TV show called Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
Brad, a new Marvel show is upon us, and despite it featuring maybe Marvel's signature character, I'm not sure this is the type of series that was on a lot of most anticipated TV shows of the year lists. The first two episodes of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man are up on Disney Plus right now. And the way that this was being presented in the press was, this is kind of a show for kids. So I wanted to start there. Do you think that framing is accurate? Do you agree that this is a show for younger Marvel fans? Or do you think older MCU diehards who have seen all the movies would dig the show as well?
I think both can be true, honestly. You know, it kind of feels like it's in the same vein of like the Spider-Man series that was on in the 90s, or the X-Men series that was on in the 90s, and even, you know, X-Men 97 now. It's not overly childish. Like, it doesn't seem like it's fully catering to kids. I think there's enough there that, like, of just, you know, Spider-Man in general, that, you know, longtime fans who are adults would probably still enjoy it, if only because the animation is pretty damn cool, and also the twists on the Spider-Man mythos and various characters and whatnot make it much different than any other version that we've seen so far. So yeah, I think adults and kids can both really enjoy this.
Yeah, so you mentioned the animation style. It's really, really cool. It feels like the characters are popping off of a comic book page, but in a different way than what we've seen in the Spider-Verse movies. This is like a much cleaner sort of
look. It has like a 1950s comic strip style to it almost.
Yeah, in my notes I wrote down that it seemed like Peter Parker just stepped out of a 1960s Spider-Man comic. Like, it has like, the show takes place in the modern day and has cell phones and live streaming and all that, but it does have, especially in like the costuming and stuff, a kind of throwback feel to it. And when you compare that to like the extremely modern and more relatable fashion sense of Miles Morales in the Spider-Verse movies, it's just an interesting way to set this show apart a little bit and kind of give it its own life. So
yeah, it's such an interesting way of bringing together two totally different styles, because it's kind of strange in a way seeing this 1950s 1960s, you know, comic style artwork, but having it set in a contemporary world where there are modern cars and cell phones and, you know, modern sensibilities and even modern music and stuff like that. So, like, it's a really interesting amalgamation of decades of different kinds of art.
Mm-hmm. So what are your overall thoughts on these first two episodes? Are you digging the show so far?
I am. You know, at first I wasn't necessarily sure if some of the voices were fitting the character design in the series. Particularly Peter Parker felt a little odd at first, but then it started feeling right for me. I think if I have one complaint about the animation, it's sometimes the motion of certain things feels a little too crisp and fluid. But there are other times when it looks amazing, and it really the general design and look of it is great. My favorite part so far is just the different spin that they're putting on the Spider-Man story, and kind of how he exists in a world where there are already these other Marvel characters that are just kind of around, and they're not doing these, like, you know, big introductions of them like you've never met them before, which is great, you know.
But I was wondering about that, because the opening episode starts with this appearance by Doctor Strange, and it's before Peter gets bitten by the radioactive spider, and he doesn't know who Doctor Strange is, and it seems like Doctor Strange comes from some sort of alternate universe portal or something in that opening action scene. So I was wondering if this world does actually have a lot of other superheroes in it.
In the second episode, there's also a shot where you see, and I won't mention the character's name yet until we start talking about the character, but there's a character in a picture with Captain America. So that establishes Captain America already exists in this universe too. So
that's right.
So yeah, so it's kind of interesting that way, especially because the series itself takes so many cues from the Peter Parker that exists in the live action Marvel Cinematic Universe, almost to the point where it's like an animated remix, as if this were some kind of like parallel universe in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it actually is supposed to be kind of an alternate universe story where a different character becomes Peter's mentor instead of Iron Man, as he does in the movies. So yeah. I don't know exactly how this is supposed to fit into the larger continuity or grand scheme of what Kevin Feige has going on, if there are any plans to incorporate this story into any other Marvel stuff, you know, further down the line or whatever. It kind of seems like its own little standalone kind of TV show thing that maybe could run multiple seasons or whatever, but it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of, you know, this is in the continuity and this is an important thing to keep in mind for the next movie kind of deal.
Yeah, it's, I think it's one of those things kind of similar to how, like, you had Donald Glover appearing as Prowler in the Spider-Verse movies, that like this could easily be one of those other multiverse universes where, you know, there's a different Spider-Man, a different approach to the story and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's cool to think about it in that way.
So what stood out to you about the first episode?
For me, in the first episode, it was I really like how Peter Parker comes across as a teenager, and in a different way than how Tom Holland plays him. He doesn't have quite the same kind of like Marty McFly kind of attitude about him. He's a little less cool, a little bit more of like a bumbling teen, because even though Tom Holland's Peter Parker can be kind of awkward, he still feels like a cool kid in a way, you know? And so this one feels a little more nerdy, definitely has more of a classic style about him. I think my favorite thing about it is the animation, as far as like in the action. The action is when the animation looks the best. And, you know, seeing Spider-Man, seeing getting an origin story that doesn't have to go beat by beat through what we already know about Spider-Man. You know, like, they established the right stuff very quickly, and they show us, they get right into like an early version of what Peter Parker is doing as Spider-Man with a different homemade suit. He's only had these powers for a few months. We don't have to see him adjusting to the powers or learning anything or any of that stuff. It just kind of throws you in, understands that you know what we're dealing with here, and is able to start introducing characters and dig into Peter Parker's life and how, you know, it's going to start getting much more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a nice maybe spin on the mythos of the Peter Parker character, that the show begins with him saving his friend, or his soon-to-be friend Nico's life before he has any powers. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a long time since I've read original Spider-Man comics or even seen Sam Raimi's first movie. But isn't Peter kind of like a down-on-his-luck a kid who is like more fueled by the vengeance that he wants to enact because of Uncle Ben's death before he gets bitten by the spider than, you know, I guess he has a good heart all the time, but he's kind of like lured by the darkness a little bit. And then he comes into his own as a hero. And this show makes it seem like he doesn't need the superpowers to be heroic, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember, as far as the original comics are concerned, if they gave him like a little bit of like a hero moment to show that he had like the courage or the gumption to kind of be a hero even before he had superpowers. But definitely in Sam Raimi's movie, Peter, you know, he's just a dorky kid. He's not necessarily stepping up to like, you know, face bullies or fight anything that comes around until he actually has those powers and starts honing them. And he's definitely, yeah, fueled by revenge. So yeah, I agree that that's an interesting thing to give Peter, because like it shows, you know, oh, this kid would be courageous even if he didn't have superpowers, you know, even if it's mm-hmm. not something, you know, in an easy fight. So yeah, that's a nice touch there.
I think for me, the thing that I was most interested in the first episode was it gets into some surprisingly mature themes. Like, there's this clear class divide in the show between the white Peter Parker and this character, Lonnie Lincoln, who is a black kid who is the captain of the school's football team. He's dating the girl of Peter's dreams. And Peter and Lonnie end up becoming friends over the course of the first episode. But the most interesting thing the show does in that episode is not shy away from the challenges that Lonnie faces, like getting eyed by the cops simply for walking down the street and being conscious of like saving money for his family. And, you know, most shows just don't talk about money at all. And in a show that starts off with this wild interdimensional action scene in the very beginning of the episode, I was not really expecting Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man to also nod to the way that people actually live in New York City. So that just kind of took me by surprise a little bit. What do you think about that aspect of the show?
No, yeah, I agree. And it seems like they're setting up like a much more interesting character dynamic between Spider-Man and Lonnie, who will presumably become a villain at some point. And so I think that's, you know, an interesting concept to bring into the fray. To like, that's one of the best things about the, especially Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies, is, you know, and really the Spider-Man comics in general, is providing Spider-Man with a rogues gallery where you're sympathetic to the villains to an extent, because not all of them are like just straight up bad guys who are evil. You know, some of them are doing things for, you know, admirable reasons. They're just going about it the wrong way, or, you know, they're too ambitious in their schemes and they lose track of like, you know, what really matters and whether they're putting people in danger, or they're just, they have something that goes wrong that takes them down a wrong path, like Doc Ock or something like that. And so
yeah,
you can easily see, you know, them building like the actual bones of good character dynamics between Peter and Lonnie before they inevitably likely have to clash as hero and villain. And I always love seeing that.
Yeah, that extends to like the street level stuff in this episode too. There's that scene where the pizza place owner gets robbed by that woman who just seems like she kind of like fell into making a bad decision, but she's not a terrible person. You know, Peter has empathy for her and convinced the guy not to press charges. And it's just an interesting way of going about treating crime in a superhero story. Like, I don't know if you've seen these, but I get served these on Instagram sometimes, these like Batman videos that are always pointing out how Batman constantly just beats the ever living hell out of people committing the smallest possible infractions.
No, I haven't seen those.
Oh man, I got to send you some. They're so funny. But like, it's just guys dressed up in bat suits, like, you know, being in a restaurant or something, and someone will like sneak some Sprite in a water cup at a restaurant and Batman will just like go off on this dude, you know? So this show's approach to treating criminals with some humanity, I think, is in stark contrast to how we often see criminals just depicted on screen as sort of like a black and white, like this is a very clear cut bad person who is, you know, almost cartoonish in the way that they're trying to rob a bank or do whatever. Like, you never really get into the mentality of the criminals in stories like this. Except for like the bigger villains that you're talking about, which is to make them more interesting characters. So yeah, I just thought it was a kind of a cool thing. All right, let's take a break and then we'll come back and maybe dig a little bit more into some of the supporting characters and talk about episode two.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
All right, so we talked about the supporting characters. We mentioned Lonnie. What do you think about the rogues gallery is the wrong word because that implies villains, but like the friends gallery? I don't know what you would call it. Like the supporting cast overall in this show, characters like Pearl and Nico and Lonnie and this version of Aunt May. Like, what do you think about these characters who surround Peter in this series?
Yeah, well, when it comes to his you know, peers and stuff like that, I really like that they're changing up the characters that they're surrounding Peter with. You know, we're not getting an MJ right away. We're not getting a Gwen Stacy or a Flash Thompson. These are characters who can be found in the comics, but they're not characters that we've seen depicted you know, in the movies or TV shows very often. So I like that they're changing that, because it means that you're not expecting, you know, a lot of things to happen. It leaves a lot to the unknown as far as what can happen between these characters and when and how. So, you know, it's I like that we're seeing characters like Pearl, you know, and Nico and whatnot. So it allows the show to feel fresh, you know, without necessarily overdoing it. And I think that the design choices as far as like the characters too are interesting, like, you know, turning Harry Osborn into a completely different, you know, kind of character right now, because he doesn't seem like he's a rich asshole, at least not yet anyway. You know, and also and kind of giving him a design too where he's not like this prototypical kind of douche bro guy either, you know, like he's
there's almost like an androgynous look to the character or something.
Yeah, he's like fashion sensible, and like his hairstyle and like the double earrings and everything. I wasn't sure like if it was me just like kind of being out of touch with like, you know, that kind of like fashion or anything, especially even for a black male. But yeah, you're right. There is like an androgynous feel about him where he, you know, gender fluid almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think once Peter gets the internship, he meets Norman Osborn at the end of the episode, and he goes to Oscorp in the second episode and starts this internship. And that's where it's tough, because like every animated Spider-Man project is going to feel like it's operating in the shadow of the Spider-Verse movies, and the way that those movies handled switching up the core tenets and core identities of a character like Doc Ock, for example, and having that be voiced by Catherine Hahn in the movies, it was just like such a breath of fresh air. So it's tough for any show to come up in the wake of that and still feel like it's doing something similarly interesting in terms of how it plays with the dynamics and shifts the identities of these characters around. But it changes, you know, Dr. Connors, for example, is typically like Kurt Connors, a guy, and it's this black woman who works at Oscorp in this version of the thing. And like Norman Osborn is a black man. And like, there's just a lot of things that the show is doing that I think it has a lot of potential to dig into, and we've seen it in these first two episodes, dig into some of the humanity and some of the real world stuff that I think these comics are able to do, but maybe the movies haven't really had a lot of time to do. So over the course of, I think it's 10 episodes this season, like maybe the show will actually have a chance to like dig into what those racial dynamics mean when these characters are played by characters of different races than what we normally see. So it's just like an interesting thing. It seems like a cool experiment and like a way to modernize these characters without being like obnoxious about it. I don't know. I found that stuff really worked for me. So I was curious what your take on that was.
No, yeah, I fully agree. I think that based on what we've seen in these couple episodes, there's a chance to really like build a lot of interesting thematic elements into what is familiar and kind of similar in the way that Spider-Verse did. And give us a Spider-Man and a universe that feels refreshing because it's more reflective of the world around us. And I also am very interested in seeing what happens with Norman Osborn, not just because of that, but because I wonder if it's going to set up a structure where it's similar, where maybe Norman Osborn doesn't turn out to be a villain, or he still does go down that path, but like it's like that's what creates the clash between him and Peter, is just like, you know, differing ideologies. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, if Osborn actually becomes like a legit, you know, mentor for Peter Parker, and you know, it takes a while for them to have like a difference and become enemies, if they even do, or if they'll change that up, you know, entirely.
Yeah, and the ending of the second episode is fascinating, because Norman, who is obviously a villain, but we haven't really seen a ton of villainy from him yet, discovers Peter's secret identity. And that character has traditionally kind of discovered Peter's identity. I remember Willem Dafoe's character knowing who Peter Parker was and how he was Spider-Man and all of that. But like, yeah, the dynamic there could just be so much more interesting if that actually is like sort of a loving father-son relationship almost, that then turns sour or stays pure the whole way through. So really curious to see what happens there. I also wanted to mention the villain in this episode, sort of super villain such as he is this guy named Butane, who a character I was not familiar with. He's basically just an arsonist. What did you think about that character? I thought that was interesting that Butane, when he was giving his like big villain speech, his sort of Bond villain, here's why I'm doing everything that I'm doing, that once again kind of tapped into like a real world, or at least like a realistic explanation for why somebody might be doing something like that.
Yeah, giving the villain a motivation where it's basically, you know, helping some corporation, some rich people get richer by taking advantage of a downtrodden neighborhood and a building that is dilapidated and it's going to get burned down and turned into, you know, luxury condos or whatever. That's, another great modern sensibility thrown in that we don't often see, you know, in comic books. And the MCU has done that to some extent too. You know, I mean, Vulture's entire, motivation was basically being, you know, losing his work because of what the Department of, what's it called?
The thing that like Tony Stark had sort of to help clean up the city or whatever, like he...
Yeah, damage control, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that stuff like that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the various villains that we'll see and how, like, what their motivations are, you know, relevant to things that happen, you know, in our world.
Yeah. So the second episode, I think, starts to get into the classic Spider-Man thing of Peter being pulled in a bunch of different directions at once, and it forces him to prioritize what he values most in a given moment when he's supposed to be at multiple places at the same time. And that's just such a great formula for interesting dramatic tension. You know, like, what is he going to do in any given situation? And like, you're a hero and you value saving lives, and so you want to rescue people who might be burning down a building, but you also have these personal relationships that you need to keep up, and like, your friends can only you can only let down your friends so many times before those relationships start to sour. And like, there's a sort of parental relationship he has with Aunt May that hasn't come into effect yet, but like, I'm sure he's gonna let her down at some point by not being where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. And like, it's just such a great idea for a character. And you know, we see this in a lot of superhero storytelling. This happens a lot with Clark Kent and Superman, but it's just, every time I see it, I'm just reminded of like, you know, you kind of like see the code in the Matrix where you're just like, man, the storytelling bones of this thing are so strong, the way that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and those guys like just came up with this formula that can be recycled ad infinitum. And it's just just such a cool thing. And I think it's really well executed in the show so far.
Yeah, for sure. One other thing, a character that we actually forgot to mention, who I imagine would probably be a big deal sometime down the road, maybe, or at the very, maybe it's just a way of just establishing how big the universe is one of the other interns at Oscorp is Asha, who is from Wakanda. Mm-hmm. So they've established that, you know, Wakanda is something that is known in this version of the Spider-Man universe. And so there are, you know, people who are coming to study at various scientific areas and learn and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, definitely. And are you familiar with this Amadeus Cho character? Like, they said his name with some gravity, some importance. And I was like, I haven't read enough recent Spider-Man comics or just overall, I guess, to really be familiar with that character. I didn't know if he was like invented for this show or if that is like somebody who turns into somebody later on or something. Do you know anything about that character?
No, I looked him up, and he is a known Marvel character. He becomes a version of Hulk, and then he's also known as Braun. And so, perhaps there's a chance that this could be this universe's version of Hulk. And even Braun himself is a Hulk-like character who grows and turns green and is very strong and whatnot. So, that could be interesting because that's a character that we haven't seen depicted in such a fashion in this kind of media before.
Yeah. Okay, so we've seen these first two episodes. My big question for you is, are you going to keep watching this?
Yeah, we have screeners. I don't know how many episodes we have. Do you remember how many episodes we have?
I think we have all 10.
Yeah, if we have all 10, then I'll probably watch these, you know, before the series even comes out. Is the series supposed to be all at once, or are they doing weekly release?
My understanding is they have the first two episodes out right now, and over the next few weeks, they're going to release episodes in batches, where it's like two episodes this week, three episodes this week. So it's all done by, I think, the middle of next month. And I think they want to do that to sort of clear the way for Daredevil Born Again, which is going to be like a big thing that sucks up a lot of oxygen in, you know, our spaces and sort of the nerdverse and like people who cover this stuff regularly. So I think Disney Plus probably doesn't want those two things on at the same time to be like competing for attention. So
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's my understanding. So, yeah, it seems like people will have like nice little chunks of this show. And I'm curious what people make of this. Like, just, you know, listeners of the show, write in and let us know. Like, because like I said, I was just so shocked that this got into some pretty like serious kind of stuff. And I was expecting this to be more of a kid's show, you know, more of like just a, oh, yeah, whatever. Just you don't really even have to pay attention to this thing. But I think there's like actually a lot here. If you love the Spider-Man character, there's a lot here that's like worth your time, I think, which was kind of a surprise to me. So,
yeah, I agree.
Any closing thoughts before we wrap it up, Brad?
Cool opening title sequence. Cool variation on the Spider-Man theme. Infuses it with a hip hop flair, but still uses the classic theme in it, which I thought was pretty cool. Oh, hey, let me ask you a question. The voice of Peter Parker, Hudson Thames.
Yes.
Do you know? Are you aware of him?
No, I'm not. I think I looked up who that was. I read that name and it did not set off any light bulbs for me. So who is this person?
So you'll appreciate this very much. Hudson Thames sang the slightly more poppy version of Drive It Like You Stole It on the Sing Street soundtrack.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's primarily a musician or was, or
I don't know if he's primarily a musician or not. I didn't actually go look up. I just knew that I recognized the name because I've listened to that version of Drive It Like You Stole It on like my Spotify, you know, ever since the movie came out. And yeah. I was like, oh gosh, it's this guy. So yeah, that's a fun connection.
Shout out to that. Man, that is like, talk about a random connection. That is, that's pretty amazing. Okay. People go check out Sing Street if you've never seen that movie. It's one of our favorites. It's great stuff. All right. Well, yeah, I think that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can probably find a little bit more about your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is typically published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, mailbag topics, and your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man takes to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.